I'm going to be in big trouble. Ah, well, there at least I have some good news, Ernest. And then again, I have some bad news. Ernie listened. Once or twice he looked at the corpse at his feet. He looked smaller from the outside. He was bright enough not to argue. Some things are fairly obvious when it's a 7-foot skeleton with a scythe telling you them.
So, I'm dead then, he concluded.
Correct.
The priest said that, you know, after you're dead, it's like going through a door, and on one side of it there's hell, well, a terrible place.
Death looked at his worried, fading face.
Through a door? That's what he said.
I expect it depends on the direction you're walking in.
When the street was empty again, except for the fleshy abode of the late Ernie, the grey shapes came back into focus.
Honestly, he gets worse and worse, said one. He was looking for us, said another. Did you notice? He suspects something. He gets so concerned about things.
Yes, but the beauty of this plan, said a third, is that he can't interfere.
He can go everywhere, said one.
No, said another, not quite everywhere.
And with ineffable smugness they faded into the foreground. It started to snow quite heavily. It was the night before Hogswatch. All through the house, one creature stirred. It was a mouse. And someone, in the face of all appropriateness, had baited a trap. Although, because it was the festive season, they'd used a piece of pork crackling. The smell of it had been driving the mouse mad all day. But now, with no one about, it was prepared to risk it. The mouse didn't know it was a trap. Mice aren't good at passing on information. Young mice aren't taken up to famous trap sites and told,
"This is where your Uncle Arthur passed away."
All it knew was that, what the hay, there was something to eat, on a wooden board, with some wire round it. A brief scurry later and its jaw had closed on the rind, or rather passed through it. The mouse looked around at what was now lying under the big spring and thought, oops. Then its gaze went up to the black-clad figure that had faded into view by the wainscoting.
Squeak,
it asked.
Squeak,
said the Death of Rats. And that was it, more or less. Afterwards, the Death of Rats looked around with interest. In the nature of things, his very important job tended to take him to rickyards and dark cellars and the inside of cats and all the little dank holes where rats and mice finally found out if there was a promised cheese. This place was different. It was brightly decorated, for one thing. Ivy and mistletoe hung in bunches from the bookshelves. Brightly coloured streamers festooned the walls, a feature seldom found in most holes, or even quite civilised cats. The Death of Rats took a leap onto a chair, and from there onto the table, and in fact right into a glass of amber liquid which tipped over and broke. A puddle spread around four turnips and began to soak into a note which had been written rather awkwardly on pink writing paper. It read,
"Dear Hogfather, for Hogswatch, I would like a drum and a dolly and a teddy bear and a ghastly Omnian Inquisition torture chamber with wind-up rack and nearly real blood you can use again. You can get it from the toy shopper in Short Street, it is $5.99. I have been good, and here is a glass of sherry and a pork pie for you and turnips for Gouger and Tusker and Rooter and Snouter. I hope the chimney is big enough, but my friend William says you are your father, really. Yours, Virginia Prude."
The Death of Rats nibbled a bit of the pork pie, because when you are the personification of the death of small rodents, you have to behave in certain ways. He also piddled on one of the turnips for the same reason, although only metaphorically, because when you are a small skeleton in a black robe, there are also some things you technically cannot do. Then he leapt down from the table and left sherry-flavoured footprints all the way to the tree that stood in a pot in the corner. It was really only a bare branch of oak, but so much shiny holly and mistletoe had been wired onto it that it gleamed in the light of the candles. There was tinsel on it and glittering ornaments and small bags of chocolate money. The Death of Rats peered at his hugely distorted reflection in a glass ball and then looked up at the mantelpiece. He reached it in one jump and ambled curiously through the cards that had been ranged along it. His grey whiskers twitched at messages like, "Whiffing you joy and all goody cheer,